Actually, I was always interested in image and technologies, and I did an art school, a fine art school, which is like a very classical way of becoming an artist. But I wanted always to experiment with new tools, and I wanted to create my own mediums. So I was experimenting already in the school with 3D animations, videos, and when I got my graduation, my city offered me a kind of experimental residence in a virtual reality center, and it was in 2010, so it was really at the beginning of the VR and all those technologies. And I got really fascinated into this idea of simulating the reality, and especially with the augmented reality, you can put a layer of virtual in the real world. And for me, it was so meaningful to create installations. So I started in 2010 to program myself in augmented reality. At that time, it was not easy because nobody had a smartphone, so we had to rent the tablet for the exhibition. And I wanted to create a dialogue between drawings and augmented reality. So I made a series of drawings, and I programmed an app which was called, which is still called the Screen Catcher. And the idea was to catch the screen of the drawing and to put a layer of video. So for me, it was much more to create a dialogue between traditional drawing method and also new technologies.
When you create an installation, because I understand this is how it's called, what are you thinking first at? The first layer, the reality, or the augmented reality?
So actually for this installation, ExoVisions, that I'm presenting here in the Cinetic Center, I started from the reality because I went a lot in Japan for residencies, exhibition, and I really got fascinated by the Shinto concept, especially the animism, which is in Japan they believe that every object has a soul. And for example, if you go in a Buddhist temple, you will see the stones and how they are positioned. It means they can be like a representation of Buddha or different gods. And I really like this idea of an object has a kind of layer, different layer of meaning regarding if it's in a temple or in the nature. So I started with stones I found, with those kind of patterns, and also the patterns of the stones are created by layers of time. So it's also like the geology will make different layers regarding like how it was like created, but this is a very long process, and I wanted to explore this. So I started from the stone itself, from the pattern, to imagine something which could be at the surface of it. So it's like if I was giving the mic to the stones and if the stones could speak. And also, when I worked with the 3D, I thought it would be interesting to have also a soundscape. So I asked one Japanese composer, Marihiko Ara, to create small loops to really come with the animation. So for me, it was also a way to create a concept, because ExoVision is the vision of the outside. And I upgraded the installation after, but the starting point was really the reality, the materiality itself, and this is a parallel between materiality and immateriality.
Tell me more about the stones. You found them, you searched for them. How did they come together? And how did each of them started to have another life?
Actually, I come from the center of France, and this is a very volcanic area. We have sleeping volcanoes. So I guess all my childhood, I was really into this fossil stone thing, because it's everywhere around us. And even at school, we had a very special link and connections to the stone. So I was always very affected by a stone, and I believe that you are not picking a stone, but the stone is picking you. So actually in my hometown there is one guy who is like a specialist, geospecialist of stones, and he's keeping stones from everywhere in the world. And actually, I worked with him to select really stones I wanted, because there is also a technological level. For the augmented reality, you cannot use a stone too minimal. You need to have at least a kind of pattern to catch, to be like the marker, the sensor. So I chose them in terms of a pattern, geological also aspect. For example, some of them, they are petrified wood. So it means it was like a piece of wood and it became a stone years after years. So also they are a kind of historical pieces. But they come from everywhere in the world. And I didn't want to point like a special area, but I wanted to collect stones from everywhere. So there are from Madagascar, Africa, South America. And through this guy, I really got the opportunity to really get what I wanted. But I wanted also to keep the stone object as a rock, and not to have like plaques or very cutted stones, but something more like a rock.
Some will argue that technology is not art. That is the main opposition. Some say that art is when you get and you create and you do, that art is something very, very human. How do you see this meeting of art and technology? And how would you call yourself an artist, a constructor? A constructor of technology, a tech girl.
I come from the visual art field, the fine art, so I think I have this tradition. And it's really about the context and the person and the time you're living here. So I really think that the artist has to deliver a vision of their time, like a kind of expression of what's happening now through their vision, to explain or to put people into an imagination. And for me, it's very important to fit to the technologies we can use in our time. And for example, the Impressionist movement of painting, they were created because they started to make the tubes of painting, so they could paint outside, and that's how the Impressionist came. So I think it's really important to listen to the world around us and to react. But also, I think we could make a difference between artists and creative people, like technologists. For example, artist, it's really someone who is aware of the artistry and he is building an artwork regarding what happens before and trying to find a new way. The people who are doing like creative technologies, they are much more into the technique, the effect, and they are trying to make beautiful things, which are more like entertainment. But I think we have to separate like these two fields of creation with technologies, and even the same artwork could be in the different fields. I think it really depends on the context and the person who make it.
And the person who looks at it, right? Because with this kind of art, I'm kind of integrated in your work, because although the augmented reality exists, it starts when I raise my phone. So I can get to be part of your work?
Yeah, for me, actually, it was very important that the viewers were involved in the artworks. So I prefer when people download on their phone, because it's also a kind of a reflection on the society, how we behave every day. So everybody is stuck with their phones and they answer the email, they take photos. But to use your own phone to do something different, to see art, I think it's very meaningful, because it's a way also to reconnect you to something. Like, for example, this installation, ExoVisions, I show it in an exhibition in Japan. And a lot of young people came and they were so excited to download an app on their phones. But actually, it was a way to reconnect them with their traditional concepts, like the animism, and to reconnect them also to the nature, because they are sometimes very disconnected and they are really into this video game world. So I think, yes, using the viewer and them to generate also an ID is part of the display for me.
So you say that art and this kind of installations could in fact bring us to more to our human part than back to our human part, because we learn to use technology in other ways to discover, so it could be a tool, right?
Yes, I think we need humans to make art, and I work a lot also in Japan. I collaborated with Japanese scientists. They are making anthropomorphic robots, and to work with robots, it's a very human experience actually, because when you enter the lab, there are 10 students around, and one student is programming the motion, one student is programming the behavior, one student is programming like the sensors, one over is making like the skin or the hair. And it's very nice because it's a very humanistic project actually, and that's why I love also to use those kind of different medium and tools, because as an artist sometimes you're very isolated, you're very alone, but to collaborate with people in different worlds, you learn how to talk, how to exchange, and how to create with other humans. So yeah.
Which was the most challenging installation that you made?
I made an installation called Coexistence, which is an interaction between a dancer and a robot. And it was very challenging because this robot has a human appearance, but actually the system in the robot is an artificial life system programmed by Takashi Ikegami from the Tokyo University. And this robot is not imitating the human behavior. It generates its own behavior. And sometimes the robot learns from the environment and propose a reaction, and sometimes the reaction is like almost nothing, or sometimes it's very agitated and you cannot control the robot because it's a kind of autonomous object. And I set up the installation because I wanted to record this as a video installation, but it was very hard because the robot was doing what he wanted. So we tried to make many things, we rehearsed, we programmed different things, but after when we tried it again, it was not very efficient and not working anymore because the robot evolved. So I thought it was really tough, but very interesting, because it was like really like a different form of life. Like if you were recording something with a cat or a dog or a plant, but it was a robot. And yeah, it was really hard, but very interesting. And also for the dancer who performed in this video, his name is Mirai Moriyama. He told me that usually when he performs with other dancers, there is a very natural, but the flow was different. And he said that it was not really an object, but not really a human. It kind of half form of life, half life, something. So yeah, this was very hard.
And did you succeed?
Yes, I think so, because I finally selected like the best moment, and I worked actually as a scientific experiment. So yeah, it was very interesting, very hard, but I like also the challenge. And
where would you draw the line between art and technology? We clarify that this is art installation, because it is the human that makes the art and involves the viewer and so on and so forth. But where would you draw the line? And I'm asking this because recently, I think 2 months or 3 months ago, at Christie's, it was sold that painting made by an AI. And the question was, is that art or not? It was also, I know, it was programmed by artists. Can we draw a line somewhere?
I think there are different ways of using AI to create an artwork. For example, this painting which was sold at Christie's, this is the kind of artist or guys who are using AI as a tool, as mm-hmm. a tool to create something. But in my work, I'm much more interested of collaborating with AI or with robots. and in coexistence. For example, I really set the robot and the human at the same level, because my idea is really to open a new thinking about the future, maybe more poetic than industrial or technical. So I think using technology as a tool has limits, and sometimes we can really see the limits of it. But trying to create like a different display where human collaborate with technology, for me, is more interesting. Mm-hmm. After regarding this installation, some of the stones, they are randomly generated patterns. And I think I want to work more on this kind of installations to have something more written into the present. Because when you use augmented reality, for me, it's a way to be connected to the present. Like, for example, when you were using Polaroids or those kind of technologies which generate an artworks for only like a few seconds, and after it will disappear and you will never see two times the same thing. So I really want to work with this idea of unpredictable things.
Mm-hmm. And that leads me to my next question. How do you see the future of this kind of art? What is next?
I think the art field has its own way, and we will always maybe use technologies or not, or it will depend of the artistry. But the artistry, you can never know at the present moment. You have to look back to see what was like the main thread, and now it's too soon to say how it will evolve. So I think time is doing its own selection. But after, for the technology part, I think right now a lot of people, including me, are experimenting with neuroscience and with the brain, and because of course we are using only 10 or 20% of our brains. And I think artists with neuroscientists has a long relation to develop, and that's why I'm working now on a project to see how we could print the dreams. And I like this kind of challenge of making a bridge between different sciences, art, and also material. So I don't know how will be the future, but I look forward to see it. So print.